fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Raley. Our campaign is Beyond the Mountains of Madness, and we're about to begin Episode 7. It was written mainly by Janice Hill and Charles Inkin, along with others who are listed in the credits. Simon Ward will be giving the recap, and our GM for this campaign is Sean Little. Well, the characters are ready to go. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Simon?
Dr. Lindenbrook and Dr. Hawkes attend the funeral of the late captain. Unfortunately, Captain Sutton's kept to his room with food poisoning. Elmer looks further into Miss Lexington, and Mr. Brixton dealt with his phone inquiries. We go back to the routine of preparation, and we also get our room assignments. We sit down to enjoy an evening of celebration. During the evening, though, a fire breaks out in the warehouse near us in the dock. We run about, do what we can to fight the fire. The three bodies of the missing crew members are found amongst the flames. Dr. Lindenbrook sees a suspicious man leaving with a gasoline can. They manage to catch him and get a confession from him. Some red-headed guy called Doyle had hired him. We set about making sure nothing had gone missing or was damaged for the rest of the evening. Next day, on the 9th, Elmer gets a note to meet Mr. Rorick, a well-known artist. Mr. Jones, Mr. Brixton, and Dr. Lindenbrook go and visit him, and he helps answer what questions he can. We are informed by Starkweather we now have been delayed for another day and a half. We now set sail on the 11th.
Fantastic. Sean.
Well, let's fast forward if we were and say things have gone as planned and it is now the morning of the 9th. Sorry, 10th rather. No, the 9th, I'm sorry. You have breakfast as normal. Everybody seems to be in oddly good spirits given that the fire occurred. Partially because assurances have been made that everything will be found that has to be replaced, and nothing with preliminary inquiries seems to be an issue. So the day is essentially yours on the 9th. Burnt equipment is being replaced. You've all been given a few minor tasks that require a few phone calls that you've already made in the past, perhaps, or are. So it is the 9th. You are on the ship. And things are being loaded. Some things are being tossed off the ship that did have some minor heat damage. Otherwise, it's just a normal day. It's a nice sunny day on at the port.
In the last episode, you gave us our room assignments.
Yes.
What room is Dr. Charlene in?
She is given one of the two 13. Rooms.
She was in 13.
Yeah, she's one of the nicer rooms next to Mr. Starkweather and Moore.
And where are they?
12.
Because I'm next to her in 14.
Well, 13 is where Roger is. At least that's what I wrote down. Is that correct?
No.
Yes.
That's what I had.
That's what you have?
Starkweather and Moore are in 11.
Mm-hmm. All that, sorry, I'm not.
Yeah. I wrote the lady was in 12. I guess yes. That was Charlene.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have it here. Okay. Yes.
I think King Kong is going to be at the cinema new release. Do anyone fancy going to the cinema?
Is that the one with the dinosaurs in it?
I think so. A bit of some big animal or something, but it's meant to be really good. So realistic, people are meant to be fainting.
Seems very appropriate for our excursion too.
That's what I thought. And when's the next chance we're going to get a chance to go to the movies?
Yeah.
That sounds like a nice idea.
Pass a bit of time as well.
Well, it's definitely a doable thing for any of you. You have a lot of, you have 2 days essentially to fill in as you will.
I will see if Charlene wants to come with us.
Yeah, I'm afraid it looks very much like Dr. Hawkes has succumbed to the same bug I had, I think.
Oh, is he not feeling well? That's too bad.
Yeah. Mae West's film, I'm No Angel, should be showing as well.
Well, that's for sure.
I quite like Mae West. Queen Christina with Greta Garbo's out as well. State Fair.
I think one movie's enough for me.
You watch too many
of those moving pictures, and you'll end up suffering from neurasthenia. You're overstimulated.
Or popcorn poisoning.
All right. Well, movie is definitely, there are matinees occurring within an easy walk of the port, but it is morning, though.
So you have trust.
Might I ask what date we're on now?
It's the 9th.
The morning of the 9th.
The 9th, okay.
Yes, it's the 9th.
Are there any unsolved mysteries that we still need to stick our noses in? We know who started the fire, but we don't know who. We believe now that it's a third party. It wasn't the Lex. It wasn't Miss Acacia Lexington. It was, although it still could have been.
Sounds like you've been having a very exciting time while I've had my head in a waste paper bin.
It's only a fire.
That's true. You missed the fire.
Has there been any updates on the fire? Like, did the police find anybody or find out who's behind it?
Yeah, we took him. We delivered the person who was behind it.
Well, he was a hired hand. He was a right. You definitely, his story is the story he gave you at the time is the story he's sticking to.
Right, the redheaded man. Did he give us a name?
He did.
You're gonna O'Rourke.
Rourke was the artist.
Rourke is the artist.
Rourke is the artist, right.
Yes. The fellow that was captured, his name is Jerry Polk, and he said he was approached by a redheaded man named Doyle.
Oh, Doyle.
Doyle paid him $100 when he agreed to set fire to the warehouses of the Starkweather Moor and the Lexington Expeditions, and he was going to get an extra $250 if he set fire to both.
Now, was he was supposed to go to a place in where, Central Park, to get paid?
Yes.
And I imagine, was that supposed to be last night that was supposed to happen?
No, it's today at noon.
Ah, so I don't want to interfere in any way with what the police are up to, but I'd kind of like to check this afternoon what the police say they found, you know. I suspect that the guy who was there last night would probably be murdered when he got to where he was supposed to go.
Mr. Polk. Yes, Jerry Polk. Well, the police are milling around the fire scene along with fire officials. So if you need information or you wish to talk to them, they're certainly within easy reach.
Right.
So you've got 2 days apart from your movie time and your sleep time. So if there is anything you wish to do in that that period, you certainly have time to do this.
Well, I would like to take and get in the ship and do a check once again of all my crates and supplies, especially the crate with the big X on it.
Yeah, you you can certainly do that, and everything seems to be in order.
I'm informing the new captain about the barrel of beer that I brought aboard. So he's aware of it. I don't want it to look like, because he's a new captain, I'm taking the piss over his authority and stuff.
Now, let's see what this. He gives you a wink and a nod and says, I heard nothing. Seems like an upstanding, fairly decent guy.
Yeah, even so, he's new and he might be keen to stamp his authority, and I don't want to look like I'm just taking it for granted and ignoring protocol.
He says, under other circumstances where not such a long cruise, I might make you dump it overboard.
Did you guys notice the tons of barrels of airplane gasoline we're sitting on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
Are we sitting on airplane fuel?
They're stacked three tall, 55-gallon drums.
Wow.
Anybody so if
the ship blew up, it would blow up.
Yes.
Well, set enough, we're going to have the maximum fuel for everything, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, I trust you all know how to swim.
I'm quite convinced it's not going to blow up. I thought it was going to blow up, I wouldn't bother going.
Well, I'm sure that they're doing, the security has done a thorough sweep, considering the...
Well, you can't get on board without getting past security now, so if anyone is going to stow away, they're going to have to work hard at doing it.
Comes with some reassurance.
Sean, from the last episode, we pretty much discovered who the brute was, the guy that probably murdered Captain Douglas. But I can't remember. Did we turn that information over to the police, or did we just sit on it?
You did mention it.
Okay.
They did accept your information.
Okay.
Thankful for it. You do see the detective wandering around, so he's around. Not 24 hours, but you have seen him around the docks and around the hotel, still asking questions and looking for information. He seems to be talking to other cops and talking to crew members quite a bit.
I just wanted to, so maybe I'll just try to flag him down real quick. I'm just curious if there's any connection between Southcott and the arsonist.
So far, haven't been able to establish even if that's really the guy's name. Either one of them, but haven't found any connections. We asked a little bit probed to see if this Jerry guy would drop something, would just sort of let something go. Nothing. Didn't seem to have any idea.
Okay.
Never even heard of Captain Douglas.
Okay.
I guess I'm sort of wandering around too, so I see them talking and I come up, and I'm kind of curious if we ever found out anything more on Wykes, Grimes, and Brewer, the three missing crew people.
So far, no sign. No sign of them. They've asked around. On the same hand, no sign of them in the morgue. No bodies have washed up on shore. They certainly haven't any. Nobody alive or dead has seemed to match the description.
I think it's probably... the percentages are high enough that they're probably on board the Tallahassee. They were probably offered more money by the Lexington crew. That's just an idea. So far, they don't actually seem to be tied to anything subversive or wrong.
Well, the Tallahassee's gone. I mean,
yeah, so what we won't know.
They're outside of our jurisdiction right now. We could certainly wire down to Panama, but I don't think the authorities there are going to board their ship looking for three missing men for us.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be launching this ship soon and we will not have to worry about all this. It certainly has been... would you say, officer, would you say, detective, that it's been kind of fertile here as far as mysteries go? Or do these sort of things happen all the time?
Yeah, he laughs out loud and says, well, it is New York City, but I haven't had this many things happen in such a short space of time around a single ship in the harbor since I've been on the job.
Have we, GM, have we discussed with him some of the other stuff, the German, the funny note?
Yes. To a point. Mm-hmm. I mean, You did mention that there was a connection, possibly. As I remember, they're looking into all leads that were provided to them. I don't think you necessarily gave them every bit of information you had.
I guess that's probably more a Jeff question, whether he shared the the note.
Yeah, I don't know that you shared any notes.
Sorry, was
did you share the threatening notes with the detective?
I don't remember any threatening notes.
Mick got both the threatening notes.
They were all going to die. Oh, it's Mick that got the notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did Mick share any of the notes?
I was holed up in my cabin.
Oh, but have you haven't shared them with any outsiders?
No. I've been too busy praying to the porcelain god.
I think they're made out of metal on ships, but I'm not sure. So sure. I don't want to delay the ship any, so I don't know. I don't know what to do at this point. Thanks, Detective. If you need anything, call me.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy with the work you guys did so far and the little bit of information you've given me. And Mr. Rorick is certainly very, very prominent one of the more prominent persons speaking highly of you.
He's a phenomenal artist.
Well, you set the detective off. He's actually quite a fan, and he seems, surprisingly, he's quite knowledgeable into the artwork of Mr. Rorick.
Hmm.
Seems like he could talk your ear off under different circumstances.
My goodness, you certainly do know a lot about Mr. Rorick. I wouldn't have taken you for an art fan.
He laughs and says, educated people are found all around you in all different jobs.
It's true. And perhaps I mentioned some other artists that I've enjoyed in the city. And we have a conversation about it. But other than that, we got a matinee to get to.
Well, just if you are any of you looking to do any further inquiries into anything today?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, the things are being loaded onto the ship. And things are going swimmingly, haha. And it hits noon. Neil is on the ship, of course. And then you know that your matinee is around 1:30. So anybody who's going certainly has time to get to it.
Okay. So we're all going?
I'm going to stick around the docks.
All right. Anyone going is going, and there's the...
Did you choose
the Kung Fu movie? Kung Fu. The King Kong movie, or did you choose the Mae West movie?
Let's go and see King Kong. Yes, I think that sounds like quite a spectacle.
Oh, here, I'll drop it on my screen for realism and play it. No, share screen. No. All right, easy enough. You're at the movie. There's quite enjoyable, quite astounding, and you don't have to do any sanity rolls, but
it was mesmerizing. We were frozen in our seats.
So lifelike.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. Did you see the dinosaurs? The big snake one. My goodness.
I like the way it was swatting up the planes, right? It's hanging onto the building.
So I'm really kind of confused. Obviously, that was not a man in a costume. How did they do that? Did they?
It's magic of the cinema.
Yeah, but.
It said that maybe it's a puppet or something,
but it didn't. I didn't see right. It was huge.
It's a giant minky. It was
trick photography, I think.
I see the fight the dinosaur is amazing.
When he snapped the dinosaur's jaw, that was very realistic. It made my jaw kind of hurt.
Thinking.
It was good movie.
That was exciting.
Do you remember that film quite a while ago now? But The Lost World. That reminded me of that a bit.
I never saw that movie. That was the dinosaur movie. Yes,
that was a film. With dinosaurs.
If it's time tomorrow, I might try and get the Mae West in.
Believe me, everybody can fit Mae West in.
That's number one film, this one.
Well, your film is over.
Yep.
Back to the shipping.
Back, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You've still got a fair bit of the day ahead of you and the evening.
Anybody? I would like to see if I can find out from the police what happened at the rendezvous.
Well, as you return to the ship, there's the detective's not around, but there's certainly more senior staff, sergeants wandering, and you saw them speaking with him.
Sergeant, since we're all kind of involved in this whole thing, what happened at the rendezvous at noon? Were the other criminals apprehended?
He laughs. He says, "Well, as I already told the detective would happen, nothing happened. They got wind, I'm sure, that Jerry, that Polk guy, was captured, and they absolutely did not show up."
That's a shame.
We stayed off. I was with them. I stayed off in the bushes, and I knew what was going to happen. I looked the other way because I had just to see if someone was watching us from another direction. Nobody showed. I wouldn't want to be that guy. He's not going to last a year in jail.
Probably not. He probably won't get to jail. If they're connected in some way with the Italian or, you know what I mean.
Yeah. He snickers to himself.
Well, I guess it's a mystery we're not going to completely solve. No leads on this Mr. O'Doul?
Nothing. The Polk just met him, got money from him. Didn't quite finish his job, so we never met up with him again. That was the end of that.
Well, thank you.
Anytime. Have a nice trip.
I'm just going to go relax on board the ship. I'm so ready to go.
All right. Well, unless anyone wants to do anything else specifically today, I can fast forward to the evening. Work is done. Doc shuts up. The gates are shut and locked. Security's wandering around. Meals prepared in the mess. People are eating in shifts, of course. And if you're not doing anything, the morning is yours. And it's morning.
Yay. Okay.
All right. It's the 11th. There's still stuff being delivered. There's still fuel being delivered. Little bit of a delay, and then you hear the captain say, "That's no problem." He says, "That's okay. I'd rather wait till sunset anyway." So you're pushing it to the end of the day just because of the congestion in the harbor and the fact that there's a few things that are still on their way. Nothing's late. Nothing's missing. Everything's being loaded. Dun-dun-dun-dun. There's a backlog.
Did we jump ahead to the 11th?
Yes.
Did you just say, okay. So it's the 11th.
Yep.
All right.
It's just the 11th or the 10th.
It's the 11th.
We jumped ahead.
All right.
Sean, right. At some point you said...
is that Monday?
Yeah,
sorry, Monday. Sorry, Joe.
Yes.
Monday.
You said something about Elmer being able to have an assistant for the surveying stuff.
Yes.
Do I need to put a name to that at all, or is that... You'll worry about it later.
If you look at the list I sent, I posted earlier of the ship.
Yep, I'm looking at it now.
Is there... not another surveyor on that list? There might not be.
I don't see one.
No, it was Abraham's the cook.
Then you have access. There is a survey assistant in a local company who's been champing at the bit to go. And Mr. Starkweather, he's a fairly young guy, but he's got a few years of experience behind him, and he's a big, strong guy from Kentucky. His name is Martin Stamus. So he's waiting to go. He's had his bags packed for weeks.
So at some point, I would have just talked to him and just made sure we're all on the same page. He's up to date and everything like that.
He just showed up today. He didn't even know he was going till last night.
Oh, okay.
So he's got his bags. They find a room for him nearby in the aft area. There's a few spare bunks, and he's got equipment. He's ready to go.
Great.
Really, really pleased to be on the trip. He's been excited about the thought of going to Antarctica all his life.
Okay, awesome. Can I, hang on. I lost my page. Can I ask a couple stupid questions?
Sure.
I'm looking at the first screenshot you sent for the crew roster. There's a couple ships terms I'm just not familiar with. The boatswain?
Boatswain.
What does that mean?
Bosun. Sorry. when I was talking to you last week, too.
Yeah.
It's a bosun. It's a position. Hold on.
Position. Okay.
That's a position.
Like an NCO, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
A sergeant or something.
Wait. Let me do this. Hey, Alexa, what's a bosun?
I don't know that one.
Stupid.
It's pronounced bosun.
Bosun?
Bosun, like bosun.
Yeah, there's an alternative spelling, it's B-O-S-U-N.
Yeah. It's in he's a ship's officer in charge of equipment and the crew.
Okay. And then
also known as a petty officer, so there you go. That's the American equivalent.
Petty officer.
Storekeeper is self-explanatory, just to someone who's
stores or quartermaster. Kind of guy. Yeah. In the Army, you'd say quartermaster, I guess.
But you've got quartermasters as well.
Well, then he's a bosun.
He's in charge of them, isn't he? He's the,
well, he's probably in charge of stores, making sure that everything is pure.
If anyone's got the keys, it's going to be him.
He's the guy with the whistle. Those whistles are a bosun's whistle.
And then what does a steward do?
Steward.
Go ahead.
And there's mess boys, isn't there, which would be like help tidying cabins up.
Yeah.
Laundry. They're like waiters, basically.
They're the naval equivalent of a batman.
Yeah, they sort of sort the cabins out and get stuff done to the laundry department and stuff like that.
Like on trains, we call the equivalent of a flight attendant on a train is
like a flight attendant sort of thing.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Those are the only ones?
Yep.
The cook. He's the one that's going to make enemies. Niles Abraham. We're going to remember that name.
Make friends with him.
Yeah, we've got to keep him sweet.
Have him slice a few extra potatoes when we get a chance.
He can do wonders with a powdered egg.
He's never cooked, penguin, though, yet.
All right.
That is penguin that we're eating.
And you all have time to wander the ship if there's any areas you wish to make you familiarize yourself with. So that the mapping that was provided to you earlier, by the time you're on your way, you pretty much know.
I think we should do a stowaway hunt just to make certain. I'm going to go around all the places and look for places, make sure there's no stowaways. I know we had security, but just to be something to do more than anything. I don't know what I'm going to do if I'm going to find anyone.
And no women on the ship. That's unlucky. Oh, wait. Oh.
Not true at all.
You forget about Lieutenant Prostitute.
I heard that about
couldn't find Lieutenant Prostitute.
So as the noontime approaches, the last shipments of materials are pulling in. Yay. The a few people are kind of straggling onto the ship, who were off doing errands and were a little late getting back. They seem to have things stuffed under their shirts, some of them.
Boo. Just got out of a drunk attack.
Likely. So generally, by the time it hits about 2 o'clock, the ship's ready to go, but the captain insists on waiting till sunset. He wants to go out at a specific time, so he's the only ship leaving the harbor at that time.
At least he catches a certain tide.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that too. So you have like 3-4 hours.
Quick question. Sure. Looking at the crew quarters, I mean where we are on the ship. I don't know everybody is in which rooms. Areas like 21 and 19, are those like common areas?
I've actually got a map with numbers that you don't have. Of course there are maps.
We ain't fancy.
21 and 19. Oh, I see what you mean. That's like the midships area. 19 is the officer's mess.
Okay.
Senior expedition members as well, and any female explorers. They wouldn't let any female crew members of the expedition into the junior ranks mess. That would be a disaster. 21 is the crew's mess. Junior expedition members and anyone else who won't.
So, do we eat there if that's where our room is?
It's expected that senior expedition members would eat in the officer's mess.
Okay, so we go over there to eat.
But you can eat
room's 18, so that's adjacent to the normal mess.
What's room number 20?
Sorry, I put the map down. 20 is the galley.
That's the kitchen. That's where they're cooking. Okay.
Yep. And you do note, just for interest's sake, there's fire extinguishers in all mess, in both messes and the galley.
Okay. And 22?
That would be the open space leading down into the engine room.
Oh, okay. So there's probably a staircase going down.
Yep.
All right, cool.
As I wasn't here last week, could you remind me which room I'm in?
Jeff has the most accurate list. Do you?
You're up at the in the aft with, or back in the aft. With Elmer.
Yeah, I think we were kind of tossed below.
Was it someone?
Technical and engineering persons generally go in the back. I know it's terrible. You have a room.
I'm just trying to grip my teeth and ignore all the double entendres.
The ass part of the ship.
The aft hole.
Aft.
It was the bit about being tossed below.
Where is he? He's in the asshole, sir.
Mansion.
Nautical humor.
Roger the Cabin Boy.
That's my favorite comedy movie, by the way. Cabin Boy. So the day progresses. You're now just about to depart, and Mr. Starkweather says, "I assume we've taken attendance," and he laughs to himself. And various officers are coming to him and saying, "All accounted for in my section, all accounted for. Someone did take attendance of all the expedition members to make sure no one was missing. All are here. Mm-hmm. All goods are on board." He calls for the ship to be started up. He calls for the lines to be tossed. The tugboat pushes the nose, the bow in the right direction, and the ship has left the dock.
I'm up on deck watching.
Yeah. But no,
on voyage.
So you are officially leaving the harbor.
I'm a bit upset that the captain wouldn't let me blow the big horn.
Did you ask?
Apparently,
it's someone else's job.
Give him a biscuit and he might let you.
Oh my God, more double entendres.
They don't end.
Yeah, we're at sea now.
It's the naval life.
We're completely surrounded by seamen.
Yep. Rum, bomb, and backy boys, one and all.
Yes. Steamers, stains, and masturbates.
Jeff, I have some more nautical terms for you for interest's sake. These are provided to you. Aft is, of course, the rear of the ship. Amidships is, of course, the center of the ship. Bosun. Forecastle, or forecastle, is the cabin areas in the bow of the ship. It looks like a forecastle, forecastle, or forecastle. Fore is the front. Lee and alley is the side of the ship, or solid object, which is away from the wind, so the lee side is opposite from the wind. Line is a rope. Port is left. Starboard's right.
If you're facing the front of the ship.
And which is the Aloha deck?
Deck 3. It's always deck 3. It's where the disco is.
Which member of our party has the highest size rating? And can we start shouting out "avast behind" whenever they walk past? Sorry. I've got it out of my system now. I won't do it anymore. I'm sorry. I just need to exercise myself.
God.
I'm a tiny 55.
So they say, as the ship leaves the harbor and passes the Statue of Liberty around and out. I'm just thinking of the last time I sailed out of New York Harbor.
Goodbye to New York. Bottles.
5 miles offshore.
City of apples.
Yeah, city of apples. 5 miles offshore, the corks pop. And you're no longer in Prohibition.
Yay!
Hey!
Officers'
masses full of people not actually doing work but drinking. And
I smuggled a beer barrel aboard, so if you want a beer, it's in the mess.
But a wee swally.
Everybody's pleased with your bringing of that on board. Who sees such a thing? And the night has begun. So a lot of drinking, a lot of carousing and talking.
Our itinerary. When will we be in the next port?
You will reach Panama City in 7 days. There is no plan to stop anywhere else on the way at present.
Good weather forecasted for the
excellent journey. Weather forecast for the next 7 days is excellent.
Excellent. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the radio room trying to pick up messages from other vessels, especially vessels that are done for relevant expeditions, etc. Mm-hmm. So I can keep an ear on them.
Well, given the atmospheric conditions, there is a slim chance that you can pick anything up a day ahead of you. I would say nothing on the first day for sure. Yeah. I lost you there.
I didn't really expect to, but I'm just doing it just to pass the time.
Certainly.
Well, I'm not working on my amplifier I had a word with you about. I'm trying to design circuits for that.
All right. You do note there's a sign up that outside the door is a chalkboard with some chalk. It says, breakfast in the for the expedition members is served from 8 to 9 each morning outside both mess halls, depending on your status, or doesn't say that, but you know that it's outside both mess halls, is wherever you wish to eat.
Go to the one that says whatever you like.
Well, I'll be in 19.
Eating both. Eating both of them.
All right, first day, ends. Next day, it's the 12th of September. Breakfast is served from 8:50 till 9. I assume everyone heads off to breakfast at their mess of their choice. It's
Right.
You see the chalkboard.
Which one's got the,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Which one's got the best menu?
It's pretty much the same food in both messes right now.
Okay.
It's just steamline.
I always eat wherever Charlene is because I don't want to be impolite.
She eats in the officer's mess.
Yeah.
And Mr. Starkweather more insists on this.
Well, I'm going to eat in the officer's mess because I'm an officer, damn it.
There you go.
Back to the aft.
Back to the aft? What are you saying about me? I was a military man. Don't you start that nonsense with me. There's no smears on my character. It was cold. We had to all share body heat. There's nothing funny about it. Survival technique.
We waited till we ran out of food. Almost.
You know, it's, I mean, where, there you are, and it's like parking a bicycle in one of those. It just sort of, it just happens. You can't.
Okay, could I oil? It's a total coincidence.
Parking a bicycle? What?
Each morning, the chalkboard has the latitude and longitude position of where you are.
Okay.
As well,
I'm not the GM, but maybe we should do constitution rolls. How many of us are used to being on a ship?
It's a large ship, so it's not rolling seas yet, but it does have some side to side. Not last night in the Cape Hatteras. The next in a day or so, you're going to have some constitution rolls. In out game talk, it tells you the sunrise and sunset each day, predicted weather, and any assignments or classes offered for the day. And this is something Mr. Starkweather brings up casually, although there's actually an announcement that is made later on in the morning that various members of the crew are putting on classes, and members of the expedition are expected to take these classes. And outside of game talk, you actually get statistics bonus boosts or new.
Well, why not? It's definitely used to do it there. So
what's our list of classes?
There's daily one-on-one classes.
Baking.
Usually life-saving.
Jazzercise.
Persian cats in French literature.
Mime.
Mime. Oh, excellent.
The art of dance.
Remind me to tell you a mime thing after the class. Oh, man. The game's over. Right. The way it works is for each week of lessons a character receives in a subject, you get a roll to increase your intelligence.
Ooh.
If you receive certain rolls, I'll tell you later, you're going to have 2 to 5 weeks of rolls.
Oh, cool.
Here are the classes that will be occurring for the duration.
Righty-ho.
Polar survival. Cold weather gear, oxygen masks.
I'm going to put my name down for everything.
Okay. Well, you don't have time for everything. This is why you have to be selective. There's polar survival, extreme temperatures and high altitudes. Polar survival, individual movement and safety. Climbing, use of ropes and other gear. And Captain Sugden has been asked to assist in teaching that class.
Surely good.
Aircraft maintenance or operating heavy machinery, and Nigel, you've been asked if you could assist in that class as well.
Cheerio.
Drive dog sled. So there's some dog sled classes, though they say it's theoretical, not practical, because they don't want to bring the dogs up on deck. They tried that once before, and it didn't go well.
It didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
How do you make them stop?
Ship's cat was not impressed.
Who threw the ball off the deck?
We didn't mean it to go through the kitchen, but it did go through the kitchen.
Why do the dogs all keep sniffing when they get to the aft part of the ship?
Yeah. I'm gonna put my name down for the dog sledge.
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah, I'm up for that one.
There's a navigate, in-flight navigation. It's aerial navigation, so because you may suspect, it's difficult to navigate when you're
close to the
South Pole.
But if you've already got navigation, you can take that.
You can assist and teach it if you wish.
I've only got 40, but I do what I can.
Yep. Meteorology. Radio operator, guess who's been tasked to assist in that one?
That must be what old Robert, or whatever his name is, has been assigned with.
Operate heavy machinery.
Dot, dash, dash, dash.
Operate heavy machinery, in particular the Pabody ice drill. So it's the drilling crew are going to assist in that.
I want to take that one as well.
Do I have to teach that class?
They've asked if you could assist at very least.
All right.
Geology, previous knowledge, and expectations of what to find in South Africa, Antarctica. History, and this is history of earlier expeditions and common problems associated with previous expeditions. And Mr. Starkweather is going to teach using dynamite. And explosives.
He's going to teach us what using dynamite.
I
you cricket. Better listen to me.
Everybody's
only going to sign up for that.
Apparently, everybody who takes a class gets to throw a stick of lit dynamite off the aft of the ship.
It's survival already been covered. You said,
why can't we throw it off the survival? Front of the ship?
How many classes can we take?
Well, you can sign up for a reasonable number of classes. Think an hour or two each day per class. There may be for more classes in the future, and you're going to be taking. They're going to be essentially 2 to 5 weeks travel time. So for each week of lessons, you get a roll to improve your skill.
Right. I've got two. I'm down for two lessons. Did you say there's winter survival as well?
There's three classes in polar survival: cold weather gear and oxygen masks, extreme
polar survival,
high altitudes, and individual movement and safety. That's three separate classes.
Right.
Now, okay.
Let's take all three of them.
Okay. Question: I've got survival at a low rate. But now we're breaking it, you know, and it's just a generic survival. Now we're breaking it down into movement and oxygen mass. So now we're going to break those down? Or do they not count under the heading of survival?
They can still count under the heading of survival for each class you take if you succeed in your intelligence rolls at the end of it. But you can put little asterisks that you know about that specific area.
I specifically have Arctic survival. So would I just increase my Arctic survival if I successfully made a roll in one of those?
Well, actually, yeah, I wanted to ask the same thing, but more specifically, if I've got a 40% in cold survival, Arctic survival, do I already have 40% in each of those categories and then I add to each one of them? Or do I have 40 split between the three of them?
Well, I'd say you have 40 in generic Arctic survival.
Okay.
And these are specialties within that. So if you have use of oxygen masks in polar survival, that's funny. It's not really explained, but...
Well, think about it logically. If I I wouldn't start at zero... Because,
no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
If you have Arctic survival, you know all of these things to a degree, I would think.
I'm just going to take
all, a D10.
I'm going to take all of the survival classes.
Well, there's two more I haven't mentioned yet, just for the cleared out. Dr. Green is teaching for craft ballroom dancing. And Packard,
that's helpful.
And Packard is teaching as an interest course origami.
Ooh.
Charlene is very, very excited about signing up for both of those.
No, I'm going to go for dog sledge, the ice drill, polar survival, and navigation.
Okay.
So, how many do we choose for this first week?
Within reason, I'd say you should probably take about three, max.
Okay.
Three.
I'm down for four.
Well, I'm take four. I'm only going to take three if I'm teaching one as well. Then
that's true.
To start us off, we roll a d10, do we?
After the first week is over, so we're not there yet.
Right.
All right.
You roll percentile dice. You have to make an intelligence roll, and if it succeeds, you get one die six in the skill.
Right. Okay. Intelligence.
But we're still like the first day, so.
All right. So.
All right. I know what I'm going to take, so.
So I'm teaching one class, and I'm taking three classes.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Same thing here.
I mean, if you're not teaching, you can take four. I think that's it's expected that expedition members are not going to be heavily working during the transit.
Right.
So he says take classes. He wants you to be up on all the things you need. Okay. There's no formal lunch on the ship. Sandwiches and cold foods are laid out in the mess hall from noon till 1 o'clock. And Mr. Starkweather has tea in the officer's mess before each day, and the evening meal is held each evening at 8. It's still the first day, the 12th. You know that meals are communal affairs. It's like a family dinner. Everybody sits in a big pot, comes on the table, right, and is ladled out. People talk and separate into different groups, but everybody's split into different shifts for eating as well. It's a pretty leisurely affair, but fine porcelain and silver on the tables, very old-fashioned. Brandy and cigars after dinner in the officer's mess.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And the crew sitting in the junior ranks messes is a pretty loud affair, as you can expect, when people are off shift especially. In between meals and in the evening, and when you're not training, a time is your own. You can do as you wish. So. Anybody doing anything of interest on the first day?
Just classes.
Yeah. Getting familiar with everyone.
Yep. Well, you certainly do. You notice that the ship's crew, the people who are the ship's crew, they're very friendly, but they're a little suspicious of all expedition members. Because of all the things that happened, the fire, they're very friendly to you. But they all seem to have this kind of wariness where they're friendly to a point.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible to sort of glean from their reactions which members of the crew are new and which ones are, you know, obviously some of them, a lot of them have been on this ship for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that, because they'd probably be also wary of new crew members.
That's true. You tend to see them broken out into different groups when they're talking, and the young ones, the new ones, tend to hang out with each other, and the more senior ones hang out with themselves as well.
I see. Okay.
They're all, the new ones are fairly new. The other ones, they've been on the ship before, but they've certainly traveled on other ships together as well.
Right. Okay. Grumbling.
Are you talking to Lug?
Oh, sorry. I thought I was muted.
I wasn't sure myself what you were saying.
It's on tap for one day.
All right. So the first day on ship is done. Your meals are all done. Your classes are done. You're actually, you're finding the classes are helping you not get bored, which is an important thing on the ship. Day one is over. Second day comes 13th, and the weather is a little choppy. So if everyone could make that aforementioned constitution roll, we'll see how you manage.
Oh, good. Thank God.
You've got your sea legs.
I fell.
I made it with a good margin.
Okay.
Just barely passed.
Sorry, I haven't done it yet. I had a dog in the way. 54, that's a pass.
Yep.
All right. Anybody who failed or comes close, so
gets to vomit.
It's pukey time. Savarki is definitely not feeling well and not up to normal duties, but you do manage to make classes. It just takes you a few hours to get used to in the morning. But it does progressively get worse throughout the day as you get closer to Cape Hatteras. And you know that the stormy seas are ahead. They've actually posted that there's a big storm brewing up ahead. But classes progress, meals progress, everything seems to be a normal day at sea.
Can I make it a point to, I'm going to start to hang out with the dog sled team.
And I'm they're a lonely bunch, yeah.
I'm going to make it a point to try and get to know the dogs, too.
You can do that, certainly. Do you have any kind of animal skills or anything like that?
I don't think so. No, not really.
Anything, psychology, perception, anything that you want to try to...
Natural world.
Yeah,
I do have natural world. Yeah.
Give it a roll.
Yeah, that means you like animals.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pass.
Yeah, they explain to you that, I mean, these are working animals. They're not necessarily pets, but they like companionship to a point. They do tend to keep people from, you know, fawning over them and bringing them treats and things. But the animals get to know you. You get to know them. The dog sled people are quite decent people. They tend to stick to themselves, though. They're certainly like a different kind of breed, person.
Okay. Cool.
Now, in a similar vein, I do the same thing with a lot of the crew. I always call them by name. I'm polite to them. I bring them treats, and I pat them when they do a good job.
Scratch behind the ears.
They lay on the floor and kick their foot.
No, but I want to be on a good rapport with everybody.
Yeah, of course. Over time, even after just one day, you notice the crew is starting to be a little less apprehensive of expedition members. But they still have that kind of talking to each other. They just don't know who to trust. I mean, somebody set fire to the damn warehouse. They're still kind of nervous about that. So it's now September 13th, and choppy day. There's lots of games going on in the mess, card games, music's playing at the end of the afternoon. Somebody brings out one of those squeeze box things, as you would expect in a movie. And just a usual end to the day. Your classes went well, and Sparky's nausea has passed.
Great, we get to listen to concertina music.
Sparky, wait a second. I'm going to make it.
Can we get harmonica lessons?
Mama's got a squeeze box. Daddy never sleeps that night.
You probably can as you get closer to in a few weeks, because there's going to be additional classes added that are not expedition related as those end. Sparky, you actually start to pick up something on the radio because of the atmospheric conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that the Tallahassee, you hear the name of Tallahassee and their call sign, and you hear that they are still about 1.5 days ahead of you. You kind of extrapolate by their position.
I'll pass it on to Starkweather.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for your diligence. But that's all you hear. You just hear the location. It's just because of the clouds. It's bouncing off the clouds and all that.
Yeah. We've done nothing. At least we know they're out there and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I'll make sure Stark Quiver hears about it if I hear anything.
Okay. Thank you for your diligence again. And
I also mention it at meal breaks if I'm in the mess and stuff like that, if I pick up anything, so the rumors can help get around.
Sure. Well, the meal's still the same that night. Somebody makes a big mulligatawny stew, mm-hmm. and sit around. There's some good coffee for the cold weather. And you mentioned, of course, that you're going to go into warmer climes, but if anybody feels cold, there's certainly Arctic gear you can try on to keep warm during the storm. Definitely waterproof. So the storm whips up, ship is bouncing around, and as you're all trying to go to sleep, you have to do another constitution roll. I'm sorry.
Constitution.
Ooh. Oh, I'm quite comfortable.
Made it again.
Got a hard. I'm just like, it's like being rocked by mama in the.
That's what you've discovered. It's just like being rocked like a baby.
Not to me.
Not to you. No, you're hurling over the dock or the
edge. 96.
That's probably because. Fine. It's probably because my bed is oriented so that I'm rocking like this, and you're rocking like this.
I have the constitution of a concrete elephant.
We're also in the middle of the ship, and you're at the far end, so you're actually doing this.
Yep. Always get your ship in the middle, or your bunk in the middle of the ship. Mm. All right. So, day 13 ends, 14 rolls around, seas are not, it's a sunny day, but the seas are still quite rough, but it's not as bad. You're exiting, and so as the day progresses, you slowly move out of the rough waters, and you actually start to feel warmer.
Do you want to swap bunks, Elmer? You were looking a bit green last night.
I think it's just a matter of getting used to, but thank you. I might take you up on that later.
Get yourself a good greasy breakfast. That's the line the inside of your stomach. That's what you need to do.
Is it still an intelligence check for skills?
Well, we haven't gotten to a week yet.
Oh, this is only day 3 now. Wow. 11 and 12, this is the 14th. 12, 13, 14. So today is the 14th. Breakfast again, scrambled eggs. Cook puts a little bit spicy in the ice. He says, we're heading to warmer climates. You might as well get a little spicy food in you. He says it like Mick does.
We're heading to warmer climates. You might as well get a little spicy food in you.
I meant when you were imitating Americans. Sorry.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. We're heading to warmer climates, man. You better get some spicy food in you, man. That's how they talk.
That's it. So the morning, as the morning goes along, the clouds are broke, and it's a nice sunny day. You start seeing anybody who's up on decks looking around. You can see flying fish in the wake of the ship skipping through the waves. And if you're lucky, you might see a swordfish because the water is turning blue. Now you're out of the northern colder water.
My goodness.
Lunchtime arrives, sandwiches in the mess, classes still progress. Sparky, when you come back from lunch, there's a problem. You smell this horrible sulfur smell when you approach the radio room.
I'll go in and double check, see what's going on.
Well, the door is not shut all the way. And you see two of the radios are smoking.
I'll leap to them, see if I can find out what's going on.
Instantly, the strong, like you can see smoke rising from the components, and there's a strong smell of sulfur. Do you have any knowledge of chemistry or anything like that? Well, chemistry.
No, physics is the nearest thing I've got to a science, really.
Well, you've been to...
It gets unplugged, so stops the risk of electric fire.
Yeah, you just, I mean, it's pretty easy. The other radio people show up as well. Somebody's poured what looks like a sulfuric acid into the radio sets.
Oh, balls. I'm going to have to set about repairing it.
Can you roll an idea roll?
Under me intelligence, yes, 22. So
you and the radio men left together to go for lunch, and you shut and latched the door when you left. So it was not locked. It was not open. It was not like it was latched fully shut.
I tell Abraham, you have a radio guy to go and notify Starkweather and the captain over what's happened. I'm going to stay in the radio room and try and salvage what I can and repair what I can.
Do you have an electrical repair type role you can make?
Yes, I can. I do. Let me see if I can find the engineering.
Risking serious chemical burns.
No, I get 69, but I spend luck to get a success.
All right, you're able to... successfully clean the components, and you're able to successfully identify the pieces that you need to repair, and you do know what they are there. So if you can make a mechanical repair as well, or someone else, the radio guy can, you know you can fix both radios.
I found a mechanical repair roll, but I made the electrical repair roll, but I had to spend about 6 luck to get in.
Okay. Well, the other radio guy comes back. Oh, he's having a hard time. You guys are going to have to work on this for a day or so. You've got all the parts. It's just you'll have to try again later. Mm-hmm. But you do know that you can repair it. You've got all the pieces. It's just very
difficult
because everything's been welded. This is there's no sulfuric acid or anything like that stored in this room whatsoever. So you don't know how this could have happened.
Yeah. As long as you have a guy you're going to let Starkweather and the captain know.
Yeah, he does come back in a few minutes later. Starkweather himself comes right in the radio room, and he says, "What the hell happened here?"
Someone's been pouring acid over the radio. Sulfuric acid. I've cleared it up as best as I can. I'm trying to salvage what circuit boards I need to replace. It seems to be more of a chemical problem than an electrical problem at the moment, but we're going to get around it. We'll get it sorted.
Do you have all the pieces you need?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if there's anything you need to salvage from any other equipment, just let me know. We've got lots of spare parts for all of our other...
Well, I'll be making spare circuit boards just in case a situation like this did occur. So all I've got to do is get one of the ones I've been working on and convert it to what it actually needs to be used for. But I've got nothing better to do, so I'm going to get busy on this straight away.
Okay, good work. Hey, keep your doors locked from now on.
I'm going to sleep in here from now on. Well, I think we should both sleep in here when the other one's not in here.
Sounds like a reasonable
plan. There's two of us, so we can do it in a rotor system.
All right, he slaps you on the shoulder and storms off. He's muttering to himself. He's obviously not happy about this. All right, classes for everyone else. Classes are proceeding. It's a warming day.
Do we ever find out about this continued sabotage? Or is it hushed up? Because it now means that there's more sabotage going on by somebody on the ship.
Well, Sparky and the radio man, so far they've told. Have you told anyone else, Sparky, or are you keeping it to yourself?
Unless somebody comes into the radio room, which would be unusual because no one normally does.
Well, I'd like get out
at break. At break time, yeah. Yeah, I've been told not to talk about it, so I will do it at lunchtime. I know how you guys love a mystery.
Well, now we're, holy crap, mystery. We have somebody on board this ship.
Well, sulfuric acid.
Where? Let's talk to, if we're at lunchtime, let's discuss where do you find sulfuric acid? Battery acid.
Battery acid.
We need to check.
It's used in fertilizer as well, but we haven't got any fertilizer.
Is there any in the, like, I imagine the doctor wouldn't have any need for sulfuric acid. Battery acid. So we've got batteries on board, I'm sure, tons of them.
Hmm.
Yes.
I dare say we'd have acid for topping up the batteries as well.
So, need to do a little detective work.
Well, there's definitely... I won't tell you anything.
Somebody who would have... the thing is, it's actually a question that's come up in other scenarios, and that's on a ship like this. Do they really have locks on the doors, or are they just, you know, those bulkhead doors, you spin the little thing and...
Well, hazardous things are meant to be locked in cabinets, but not necessarily locked with a padlock. I mean, it's
got... They might have, the quartermaster might have an area that's got chain link that's got a padlock on it, maybe, you think? Yeah. But like on doors going into your cabins, aren't they just, don't you just close them?
Yeah, there's probably not any locks on them.
Because you're not thinking about, it's not to modern times where you're thinking about people stealing your stuff.
It's an enclosed environment, is it? If someone stole something from you, it's not like they're going to run away. Sooner or later, you're going to find out who did it.
The only thing we can think of is if they used battery acid to pour it over the radio, how do they transport the battery acid? Obviously, they didn't go walking in there with a battery in their hands.
Glass vial.
Well, then maybe there's a glass vial around that's got residue, that's got fingerprints on it, and we can figure out who the hell did this.
If they've just done it, I mean, if we need to find out where the acid for the batteries is stored, top up acid.
That may be a little bit harder to find because it could be any number of, it could be bottles of acid, it could be batteries that they dumped out, or...
It could be something that they specifically bought on to sabotage the ship that wasn't even part of the ship's stores.
But also, there's that smell. If they got any of it on their clothing or, you know, if it splashed on anything of theirs, there would be not only the smell, but the residue, it would probably burn holes in their clothing.
They would get burns and they would have holes in their clothing, but the smell comes from the interaction of the chemical with whatever it's poured on. So your only way you're going to get that sulfur smell is, you know, by pouring it directly on something. It's just not going to smell like sulfur sitting in a glass tube.
If they try and wash it out of something, though, sulfuric acid reacts rather strongly with water, doesn't it?
Especially, 40% solution is extremely volatile.
Well, it does react. It does react if you pour it into water. But if you've got it on your clothes and you wash the residue off your clothes, that's not going to cause the reaction. It's the two liquids meeting. They explode and sputter and... I'm more leaning towards that somebody brought it on specifically with sabotage in hand. That's what I would be looking for, someone who smuggled some in.
We need to determine when was the opportunity. Did it happen during a lunch break?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I think he said when he came back from lunch.
Yep.
So who was missing from lunch?
That would be impossible because we eat in shifts. So not all the crew is at lunch at the same time.
Well, you could still eliminate a huge body of the crew by knowing who is in the mess hall.
Yeah, out of 100
people. That at least narrows it down.
Out of 100 people, you can eliminate, say, 50. That's still 50 people to figure it out.
It's also 50 less people to suspect.
True. I can't argue that point.
You can eliminate all of us. You can almost definitely eliminate Starkweather and more.
The whole radio crew.
Now you've narrowed it down to just, it's a large handful of people. But
well, here's the bigger question. If they're having shifts to eat in, that means that the other members of the crew that are not on shift are doing their jobs. So who is missing from their job?
Let's start taking some notes. Let's see what we can find out.
Yes, let's pay particular attention to anyone who was missing in the engine room.
Yeah.
I would imagine is where the batteries were, or the electrical room or something.
So I think that we need to start asking some questions and beginning the process of elimination of who might have done this. So where do we start? Let's get our timing right, because when did Sparky discover this? Was it right after lunch on the 16th? Is that correct?
I thought we were still on the 14th.
Yeah, today's 14th.
Okay. Was it right after lunch on the 14th that that he discovered the damage?
Yes.
All right. So we need to know who was at lunch with Sparky. So the first thing we can do is start with Sparky. Ask Sparky, who did he see at lunch? And scratch those names off of our list.
Well, Sparky, you were eating the junior ranks mess, like the non-officer mess. What are you, or the officer's mess?
Non-officer, the crew one.
All right.
Well, there's miscellaneous crew members, and you're eating with expedition members. That's primarily what you're seeing.
Mm. All right. There's, well, probably I'll be in the officer's section, and we're just going to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a variety of people coming and going that are expedition members. No crew were eating at the same time as you. They keep you separate.
Well, I was keeping myself to myself anyway. I wasn't really making notes who was coming in. And
well, no, but you might have seen that redheaded guy, that blonde-headed guy. I've seen him. Mm-hmm. That might not remember. But once we get one person, we can ask that person who they saw at lunch, and then we can ask that person who they saw at lunch. And it's a process of wearing it down as to who was there. So you're saying that only the officers were at lunch at that time?
No, there's an officer seating. There's the expedition members are the ones who eat at this one sitting.
Okay.
And the officers eat one mess, or the senior expedition members, and the other one is just the dog sled guys, the miscellaneous like technicians and such.
Okay. So when Sparky was eating, the expedition people were eating.
Yes.
I would make a firm bet that whoever is doing this is just the average seaman kind of guy, because a junior officer is going to have a lot more responsibility. They're going to be more noticeable if they end up disappearing. It's going to be some kind of seaman that nobody pays any attention to.
Maybe. Except that if we were the ones eating at the time, then everybody else was on duty. Who was missing from duty? Somebody had to be missing from duty.
Then the person you probably want to talk to the most would be the steward.
Well, I think he's in charge of us. Probably the boatswain? Bosun?
Bosun.
Bosun. He's in charge of the operations of the ship. Yeah, let's ask that.
Who was head back and start repair work anyway?
I doubt anybody was sick, so except for us.
Sparky, so, you need some help with the repair?
I me and Abraham will be able to sort it out. Okay.
Okay. Because so, I got mechanical repair if you need it.
I'd rather make the radio room completely out of bounds. That way it keeps everybody out of suspicion.
So I am looking for Roger Blunt. The bosun.
Bosun. Easy enough to find. Oh, sorry, I'm muted. Easy enough to find. He's wandering the decks.
And do you call him bosun? Is that what you call him?
Ah.
Bosun.
Bosun. Yeah, bosun.
Bosun.
Yes, sir.
As you may be well aware, there was sabotage in the radio room. We are trying to eliminate possible suspects. Was there anyone who didn't show up for their shift duty at the time of the expedition lunch?
He thinks and, about it. He says, no.
And nope. With that, he turns around, runs, and jumps off the edge of the ship.
Yeah, I imagine the bosun's been the bosun for years on the ship.
He's an experienced guy. He's I make sure everybody gets out of bed in the morning if they're not there. I kick their ass and they're at work within an hour.
Okay, so was there a shift that was off shift at the time?
No, we timed the lunches that way. Expedition-y.
The suspense is killing me.
Oh, am I muted again?
Oh, yeah. Well, you.
I'm back. Those. He says,
I swear to God, somebody is watching this and muting right when you're about to say something really important.
And that's the end of it. No. And we're done. he says, no, there's different first officers who take watches at night, but generally everybody's on shift right now, except for a couple of senior officers who are supposed to be on tonight. They're sleeping in their bunks as far as I know.
Okay. So nobody was reported as missing?
Not today, no. We had a couple people sick yesterday, but not today.
Wow. That's extremely disturbing. Thank you very much.
Anytime, sir.
Now, who is missing amongst the expedition crew? Well, now we're saying that we were all at lunch, yes?
Yes.
Do any of us remember noticing that somebody was missing?
You can. Were you paying attention? I mean, it's 45 people. Is it like 45 people in the expedition?
We've all been trying to get to know these people, so we're... Right. Making sure that we greet them, and
it's probably easier to think of the people that we did see, and then we can eliminate them off the list.
We'd know certain people, like people we were in the same classes as.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with.
Did I see O'Doul and what was his name? My other drill people.
Yeah, they were both there.
Okay,
I saw them. Dr. Hawk is not there.
Dr. Hawk.
I knew it.
He's the only one that notices.
Yeah, he has skills in chemistry.
Sick.
Let's waste a whole bunch of time suspecting him.
I've played enough video games. I know that's the solution.
All right. Well, aside from Hawk... Doc Hawk.
You didn't notice anyone from the expedition missing from your meals. You weren't actively looking for this.
Right.
But you didn't notice anybody.
We're going down the list. We don't run into a name that was like, I didn't see him.
No. Everyone who you expected would be there seems to have been there.
So
We could go back to Sparky's suggestion, and there could be a stowaway on board the ship.
That's possible.
What about Dr. Von Sinistro, the ship's acid specialist? Is he there?
He's the most innocent person I've ever met.
He's
He's when I said hydrogen to him, he didn't react at all. Here's the problem I have with the idea of a stowaway, and that's if a stowaway so much as came out of hiding to walk all the way up to the radio room with a vial of acid in his hand, somebody would see him and think, who the hell is that?
With all the new members on board?
There aren't that many new members, and they were all working.
The expedition members know, you know, not necessarily names at this stage, but we know the faces of most.
I know
of
a lot of their names, yeah.
Yeah, and the crew know the crew. And more importantly, it's all compartmentalized, isn't it? So
that's
the
right.
Crew know who's meant to be in which area.
Right.
You know, if someone's in your area, it's you're going to notice.
How about, obviously the radio room isn't all on a tower somewhere all by itself. There must be other people working around the radio room. Mm-hmm. Let's ask them and see if they saw anything. Okay. If they saw anyone that shouldn't have been there, or you think?
Well, you can do that. There's certainly, where's the map? What's around there? There is the doctor's office, I believe, is right next to that.
It's at the front of the ship, isn't it? On the, not the top deck, the middle deck, I think.
Right
at the front of the ship.
It's up that way, yep.
The forecastle?
Well, I can tell you that it's room 29, if that helps.
Room 29. These numbers are tiny.
I know.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I see it. So it's in the... It's not in the top of the main... it's on the boat deck. It's on the boat deck.
At the bow, isn't it? Right at the bow.
No, dead center. It's above. It's the level above our cabins. All right, so we've got whatever's, so there's room 20. Who would have seen?
What about the wheelhouse?
That's another level.
Yeah, you're in the same general vicinity of rooms 1 and 2, 30, 28. So like the radio room is next to the owner's, or near the owner's suite.
Who's the owner?
Well, they're not on the ship.
Oh.
Generally, it would be used by the captain of the ship for sleeping in between shifts.
Okay. So it's the nicest suite. What's in room 30?
Room 30. That's the owner's suite. Sorry, room 30 is the owner's suite.
Okay.
Used for nor rarely used normal service. Converted into an office and lab for the expedition's use.
28 and 27.
Go. 27 is captain's cabin.
Okay.
28 is the captain's office.
Okay, so captain's cabin. That's at one end, and then.
What's 23? Because that's the only adjacent room to the radio room, isn't it? Number 23.
It's a compartment. It's a bosun stores.
You have to go through that to get to the radio.
Where's 23? I don't see 23 on here.
Out the front, tween deck.
It's quite possible, surely, that someone could have just hidden somewhere until you left. And they may have actually gone up there earlier.
Well, it'd have to be Sherlock Holmes to find out when we're going to be eating and what time and where we're going to be. So it'd be an easy thing to plan.
23.
Question for you, Sparky.
You what?
I have a question for you. Did it look like the acid was splashed on haphazardly, or was it specifically targeted for key elements of the radio?
It was poured over the radio to get into the inside.
Do you think the person had working knowledge of radios to know exactly what part to target?
No, I just, well, if you pull rested over a radio and get inside, you only have to destroy one or two parts and you're not going to knock the entire radio out of action.
Okay, the radio wasn't taken apart. Everything else, really. It was poured through, like, ventilation areas.
Okay,
the radio room is dead center in the ship. On the boat deck.
It's not the front. No, so the front of the tween deck.
He gave us all the maps. It's in the center of the ship.
Is it? Oh, well, I've got number 24 at the tween deck because I was told 24 was the radio room, which is at the front of the tween deck next to 23.
29 is the radio room, right?
It may have been a misreading of the map.
24.
It's on this. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ship's map with the main gable says the tween deck, and it's at the front in number 24.
Oh, 29 says radio room in the main map.
Yeah, because it's going to be on the tower. It's going to be on the tower in the middle.
We're just going to have to remain vigilant so that nothing else goes.
There's got to be a way.
So it's not 24, it's 29.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dead center, one level. It's right over our heads where we're sleeping.
24 is a small compartment reached only through a bolted access plate. The forecastle. It contains valve piping, so that was just an error on the reading of the map without my glasses on, most likely.
Well, it's kind of blurry. Even when I blew it up, it's blurry. So,
here, no, 29 is definitely in the forecastle near the officers, the captain's room, the captain's office, and it's on the boat deck.
Well, here's the thing: the captain was probably on the bridge. There would have been nobody else on the boat deck except for the radio crew at that time, except they were at lunch. So that would mean anybody who saw anybody go up onto the boat deck at that period in time, that would be our biggest suspect. Because there's no other way to get there except by going onto the boat deck.
And was the other radio operator at lunch too? Because it seems kind of weird that they were both at lunch. You would think that the radio room would be manned 24/7.
Jim?
The radio, expedition radio, the expedition crew went for lunch. That radio man was there, but he had left his station because they're allowed to for brief breaks, and he went for a walk to go get something to drink.
All right. Did he see anyone?
He did not see anyone. He returned and found this funny smell, and he actually went wandering off to go find Sparky, and then Sparky had returned and found it.
I still can't find where 29 is.
Hold on.
Do you have the superstructure, the 29? This one?
What, the cross section? I was looking at that.
It's on the one that's looking straight down.
Yeah, which
bridge
is
deck. This the bridge deck is on the top, and then the boat deck is this deck here.
But I can send you a file there.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So, despite all of our looking, we can't find anybody who is out of place and on the boat deck.
No.
Shit. Well, this person's eventually got to slip up, so... Well, at least alert the bosun to keep a really strict eye on everybody and make sure that if somebody is missing, and then it corresponds to some other bit of sabotage, that that we will know who it is.
We also have a person named David Packard, who's the team boss / camp security. So we should probably tell him too.
Okay. Is he in charge of the dogs?
The dogs are different dog wranglers. Inke Fikarsson, Olav Snabbium. We got Swedish dogs or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, well, if you look at, use of the cold.
Well, if you look at the descriptions of the people who are the actual expedition members, you can see what country they come from.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the dogs probably came from one of the handler's countries, most likely.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Just doing a cursory, like a spot hidden through an area where they would have batteries and sulfuric acid. Do we find any evidence of tampering?
You can roll a spot hidden.
Right. 36, that's a pass.
How close to the pass? How?
Well, I got 36. I've got 75, so it's actually a hard by 1 point.
Okay. In the general vicinity of the battery storage area, you do see a small area of discoloration on the paint on the floor, which looks relatively new.
Like it's like some splash there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's what I assume that it came from the batteries. I mean that it was poured out of the battery, or that.
Yeah, that looks that way. Like there's large ship's batteries. You do notice there's a pair of rubber gloves hanging from a hook to the left of the batteries as well.
Okay. There's probably no way to get like any kind of a fingerprint, but I look at I examine the gloves. But they've obviously been used for that purpose already many times. Yeah. So
every time they switch out batteries or adjust or maintain the batteries. They're not still warm on the inside.
So they're not still warm on the inside. is there DNA?
They wipe their forehead. Still sweat marks.
Let's see. Oh, geez. Yeah. They've got.
We found epitherials.
CSI Gabriel.
Do a swab on the back of this hand of this glove.
Well, is there anyone we can ask if anybody was in this room?
No, there's certainly mechanics working in the general area, engine people.
Okay. Should I ask the whoever the lead engineer is, or
there's a guy, pretty senior guy there.
Yeah, I'll ask like the lead engineer.
What are you doing down here? What do you want?
Just trying to find out, was there anybody in here? I probably have a time now, so time that lunch was occurring. Lunchtime. Was anybody in this room changing out a battery or with the batteries during that period of time? Yes. Was that yesterday or today?
It would have been today.
Was it this morning?
Yeah. No, I can't. A lot of people coming back and forth, but generally it's my men. If I see any of you expedition people down here, I shoo you out, like I'm about to do now. But no, I haven't seen anybody down here that didn't belong here.
I can't remember. Well, how about some that did belong here? Did anybody come in here to top off a battery or anything like that this morning?
No, we topped everything off before we left. We won't be maintaining until we get down to Panama.
Okay. So nobody came in here today.
not today.
All right. Any idea when that splash of acid over there occurred?
He looks down. He looks over to the side. And he points at some old splash marks. And he looks over. And he goes, I don't know. It could have happened when we topped up the batteries before we left. I don't know. He looks down, kind of shuffles it with his foot, and says, kind of looks a little confused and says, well, that's pretty new, though. I didn't notice that yesterday.
Is this Charles Drummond?
Sure.
Okay. So he's chief engineer.
Yeah, I'm going to list back up for him.
So I'm just like, well, Mr. Drummond, somebody poured acid all over the radio. And I suspect it came from here.
Of course, that's a very strong accusation. We keep this area locked up and maintained 24 hours a day.
So you keep it locked up?
Well, not locked up. We keep an eye on things. We're down here. Somebody's down here 24 hours a day.
Well, how long have you served aboard this ship?
The ship, 7 years now.
7 years. So I assume that you are a loyal man to the ship. Somebody is sabotaging. Somebody who is probably behind a lot of the stuff that went on the docks and so forth.
And now they're on the ship.
Now they're on the ship, and they have, it's not an accusation, somebody poured acid over the radios. Fortunately, we're able to repair them, but I think this is where it came from. I think it's obvious. So if you saw anyone in here that shouldn't have been in here, or especially one of the new members of the crew.
I haven't seen any expedition people.
No, perhaps. Well, it might not be an expedition person. No. Might be one of the new crew. Perhaps if you would do me a favor, ask some of your men if they saw anybody. But realize we may have a saboteur on board. And we've got gallons and gallons of gasoline as well.
Yeah, I'm not happy about having all that aviation fuel on the ship with all you strangers on here. Okay, I'll ask around. I'll have people keep an eye on things a little more tightly. I'm definitely going to watch the floor. Sorry, I can't help you anymore. If I think of anything, I'll let you know.
Thank you very much, Mr. Drummond.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else got any ideas?
I'm suddenly very worried about that fuel now.
Well, there's two schools of thought. Either we could take and tell everybody on the ship, and then that way people are more apt to be on the lookout for anything going strange. Then the other side of it is if we tell everybody on the ship, we could start a panic because sailors tend to be very superstitious.
It's going to cause a huge morale problem, too, if everyone is paranoid of suspecting someone else.
Very much.
But right, I think
you might be right, because if everybody knows there is a saboteur on board, then if they saw something, somebody will come forward with the information.
But we could also end up with people just making false accusations.
I'm not even talking about the radio. I'm saying is then that way you've got people on the lookout so that the next time it's a lot harder to go in and sabotage something because now everybody's looking for it. For all we know, it could have been a seaman who just walked up there, dumped the acid on it, and no one questioned him because he's a sailor on board the ship because they weren't expecting it to have happened. But if they all know that it's going to happen or has happened, that means that everybody's on the lookout for, well, what's this guy doing here? It's out of place and type stuff like that.
Well, if it's a tight ship, then I would assume that they already do that to some extent. You're not supposed to be where you're not supposed to be on board the ship. But
all it takes is one sailor who's new to say, oh, I'm sorry, I got turned around on the ship. It's a big ship. I was looking for the bathroom.
But somebody would remember that. That's what I'm hoping for. Somebody should remember seeing someone who wasn't supposed to be there, even if it was that they just got lost. You know, somebody, I can't believe that nobody saw anything. Unless there's more than one of them and it's a conspiracy.
Or unless it was someone who was meant to be in that area.
For all we know, it could technically be Starkweather or Moore themselves.
They've wrapped so much money in this, I don't know why they would sabotage their own thing. However, it could be, like you said, it could, I honest to God don't think it's Sparky, but it could be one of the other radio guys. You know, he just claims that he came in and found it that way. Did he?
Well, they would have access to the radio, and they'd certainly know the best way to take it out.
And if we can't find anyone else that doesn't belong there, he was the only one there. I don't want to accuse an innocent man, but maybe he's not an innocent man.
Right now, I don't think we have enough to go on one way or the other. I'm just saying is we need to be prepared because this didn't happen in a vacuum. If they tried to sabotage once, they'll try to sabotage something else.
Yeah.
I do, however, think that the aviation fuel is safe because not very many saboteurs are suicidal. You know, I mean, he wants to sabotage the ship, so he attacked the radio. But the ship wasn't going to sink, was in no danger of sinking with the radio being destroyed. But to do something to the ship that would possibly cause damage.
Without a radio, it would have to turn back.
I don't honestly think that we would.
You could get it repaired in Panama or...
Maybe so, but it's, you see, we're nearer to our New York than anywhere else. It'd be easier to turn back.
But that's the whole point. That's the whole point. You get it so that the ship is out of action. They have to turn back, delaying more time. You're not going to obviously set fire to the fuel, thus killing yourself in the process.
So let's make a list of potential targets other than the radio room. Potential targets for sabotage. I've got, in addition to the radio room, the dogs, the drill, and the food stores.
The engine room.
The planes.
The planes.
Yeah, it really could be anything.
It could be anything.
I don't mean to step on anyone's toes, but I don't think we have any information to go on here. We're hypothesizing too much and we don't have any facts.
I think you're right. All of the sleuthing that we tried to do didn't come to anything.
Yeah. So we just I'm suggesting we just be on alert and
that's well, it. Sparky has steeped has increased the security for the radio room. He's not going to unlock the door for anybody except without being there. So this just gets weirder and weirder as we go.
It's not like we weren't warned.
Yeah, but I thought, I mean, all the people we suspected had left the ship.
Yeah, speaking of being warned, Arthur, why don't you check your pockets and make sure that there's no more notes?
No more notes.
I'll do that.
All right, well, the day is, are you doing anything else on the day of the 14th?
I think from this point on, I'm permanently keeping my eyes peeled for anything that looks suspicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, whether that means I'm alert or just a bit highly strung is another matter.
But it's made us all paranoid, that's for sure. So we're going to be a lot more perceptive of people coming and going and people who look out of place.
Well, the ship's, it's, the word is spreading slowly throughout the ship as the day progresses. And you'll note that the crew are even more nervous looking around expedition members, whispering to each other, huddling in groups and talking quietly. So they're keeping an eye on everyone.
Right.
So dinner arrives. Mr. Starkweather takes you guys aside, and well, a few of you that he's spoken to about this, Sparky and others, says, we're keeping this on the quiet side, but we are actually increasing some security throughout the putting extra watches on among expedition members, as well as separate security requests to the crew.
Yes, anybody who's out of place and in the wrong area, that needs to be reported.
We'll keep an eye on things, but thank you for your vigilance, and we'll just hope we can catch whoever's been doing this.
Sure.
So dinner ends. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say we're going to find out that 400 pounds of sugar is missing, and it's all been poured into the fuel.
Somebody's going to funnel.
Which would just ruin all of the airplane fuel. All right.
Okay, so the evening, it's the usual, sing songs in the mess. Everyone's kind of staying a little bit separate, the expedition and the crew, just a tad more than before, but the seas are nice and calm, and the skies have cleared, and you're heading into warmer waters. Evening passes without incident, and it's the next morning. You get up, you have breakfast. It's a nice hot day. It's actually hot when you wake up, so you know you're getting close to Florida. And classes begin. One of the mess attendees is bringing some drinks on a trolley around to the different classes, bring people some nice cold drinks while they're doing their classes, because it's not necessarily air-conditioned rooms. And Sparky, could you make another roll on your repairs?
Was it electrical or mechanical, wasn't it? Mechanical was the one I didn't make, wasn't it?
I can roll for the other guy too.
05, we made a critical success.
All right, and your other radio man, he made a success as well. You just need to go down to Tween Decks 3 to pick up some parts to make the final repairs. You get down there. You know what happened. You get down to the other radio sets and the spare parts, and you can smell another sulfuric odor in the air around the field radios.
Check to see what's damaged.
Definitely someone has done the same thing to two more field radios. And has just haphazardly, it's not directed, it's not, they don't know about radios, you can tell this right away. They've just sort of splashed it inside and they've done some minor damage that, again, requires repairs.
Send old, what's his name? Robert. Send Robert to go and let Starkweather know and try and repair get all the damaged stuff I can, so I can take it to the radio room and start making repairs.
All right. You'll have to haul the. It's going to take two people to carry these field radios, or one person over a space of longer time to get them to your radio room to work on.
I'll make a start on it, and once he's gone to tell Starkweather or the captain, that way he can come back and give me a hand, and then we can both get to work on it.
When he gets back, he says Mr. Starkweather is not happy. He's gone to find Mr. Moore to discuss this with him. And So he's they say if there's anything else you need, tell him he'll strip pieces out of anything you need if you run out of pieces.
Between both of us, we can sort it out. Between both of us.
Okay. Mr. Starkweather finds Dr. Lindenbrook, sees you walking down the hallway, and he says, "Oh, I see it's happened again."
What?
Your radio man sent word to me that some of the field radios have been damaged in the tween decks hold 3.
More sulfuric acid?
Apparently, same damages in the radio room.
Okay. Well, think Nigel had a suggestion. Somebody is sabotaging, and we need to find out who is in the wrong place at the wrong time. And one of the ideas he came up with was that we tell everyone, so that everyone knows to keep their eye out for anyone who's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody is going down into that battery room and draining batteries and then pouring the acid. Somebody's got to see that.
I agree. I'm gonna make an announcement to the expedition members at lunchtime. I'm gonna get everybody in the room, shut the doors, and I'm gonna have a talk with each of them. And then I'll have the captain of the ship speak to his crew as well. It's all best if we're watching each other. The concern is we're on an enclosed ship, and the last thing we want is accusations and suspicions where they don't look, where they shouldn't be. But we do need to be vigilant.
You know, it's possible too that this person is obtaining the acid at a different time than they're pouring it. They could do it in the middle of the night when people are asleep. They could actually be one of the engineers who's regularly going in there for an actual legitimate reason, getting the acid, and then waiting until later to deliver, you know, to do it. But somebody has to be able to. Somebody's going to see something. It's not a gigantic ship. It's everybody's got to be in their places.
Well, there's pretty close to 100 people on the ship between expedition and crew. So I'll start getting the senior officers asking some questions and looking around and keep everybody's eyes open.
Now, we have one other thing. If once again it turns out that nobody says they saw anything, then we have somebody on board this ship who could go up to the radio room or could go down into the cargo hold and where those radios are, and nobody would care one way or the other. It would be perfectly natural for that to happen. Something's gotta give. We've gotta find the saboteur. Or,
well, how about you get a list of the crew, the positions. If you could work on that for me and try to see if you can come up with some suggested positions that don't belong in these areas at the certain times of the day, that might help us try to figure out who to watch.
All right. I'll go right down the list of the crew and maybe we should question every single one of them.
Well, let's see how things go. It's certainly not an accident, but We're just out of port for a couple of days. We don't want to have a problem happen. We're in the deep ocean, the Pacific.
Right.
Okay. And Tom, it is after it's time, I think.
All right. So you want to call it there? It's a good episode. I think I'm watching way too much Agatha Christie. Well, before we completely finish, last week we gained a new patron, Devin Uribe. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He will be contributing $3 a month, which is awesome. Thanks, Devin.
Nice one, Devin.
Thanks, Devin.
For any of you who would also like to help, there is a link to our Patreon account in the description below, or follow the button at the end of the credits. Our players included Jerry Bryant, Greg Malcolm, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and myself with Sean Little as Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Sleight of Hand, was composed by James Brett and is used with his permission. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft. and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.